Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders,
Clint, language, why do you want to
culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is The Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800. No, it isn't. It's 855-400-SAVAGE. If you care to join the conversation of all the news of the day, news, views, and reviews. I am not going to talk about the shooting in Virginia. There's nothing more that I could say. Everyone's dealing with it. Guns, not guns, mentally ill, not mentally ill, drugs, no drugs. Everyone's going to have an axe to grind. Everyone's going to use this moron's insanity for their own end. You know, the gun grabbers will say, take the guns. But the real issue here, the issues here are much deeper than that. It's affirmative action. It's the whole issue of entitlement. And then when people are entitled to something that they're not entitled to and they can't keep up with the people, then they blame everyone else. And there's a lot of issues that aren't even worth talking about because nothing's going to change. The philosophy of liberalism has so polluted the nation. It has so warped the nation that I don't know if we can ever come back from this. The question is, what are we going to talk about? Since I'm not going to talk about the Virginia shooting, I want to talk about mental illness and the homeless. Because I touched on the sickening sight of bums in San Francisco who are now so brazen that they are defecating in public in front of tourists. They're urinating in front of people. They're aggressively panhandling. They're out of control in San Francisco, possibly in New York as well, possibly in Las Vegas. Possibly in Seattle, San Diego, Washington, D.C., San Jose, Denver, Chicago. The homeless are brazen. They're out of control because the police have been told not to touch them. They are now the untouchables of America. And I touched on this yesterday, and I said, what's the solution? Solution to the so-called homeless problem. What are they? Well, they range all the way from reopen the mental hospitals and put the nuts in the mental hospitals because they can't be treated on the street. All the way to build everyone a million-dollar house. You know, I mean, the liberals will tell you, you owe them a million-dollar home. This is how insane liberalism is. Now, New York City spends more than $1 billion a year on the so-called bum problem in 2014. $1 billion to take care of the bums. Los Angeles spent more than $100 million a year, with another $87 million a year spent on arrests, skid row patrols, mental health interventions. My hometown of San Francisco spent $167 million reported in 2014. It's actually much higher than that when you add in the police costs, the mental health interventions, the visits to the hospital, the ambulances. It's out of control. It's bankrupting cities. And so we have to talk about it with some degree of rationality and some degree of compassion. And a friend of mine sent me a note about how yesterday's mentally ill are today's homeless. Hi, Michael. Just a short note about how the mentally ill are out on the street and not being cared for in a mental health facility as they used to be. All this came about from the deinstitutionalization movement. Now, of course, that was started by John F. Kennedy. You may not know that. And in California, it was enacted by or passed by Governor Brown's father, Edmund P. Pat Brown. And then it was put into law by Ronald Reagan. The idea was that people were being warehoused in places like Napa State Hospital for years, and many of them should not have been there. Well, it wasn't just a crazy leftist idea. People on both the right and the left saw people in terrible condition getting poor care in these snake pits. It is now harder to put someone in a psychiatric facility. For someone who is seen as a threat to themselves or others, they can be hospitalized on a 72-hour hold. After that, if they are deemed to no longer be a danger, they are released. The problem here is that after they are medicated, they may improve just enough to be released after 72 hours. Then they relapse as soon as the meds wear off because they don't continue taking the medicine. At the same time as the movement to close the institutions was happening, there were all these promising new drugs, which were cheaper than the cost of psychiatrists and therapy. And so there was the idea that there could be community health centers and drugs would be dispensed to these patients who could then be mainstreamed into their communities. However, there was no money in the budget for the community center, so patients got dumped out into the streets once the hospitals were closed. The bums were given pills, and they were said, go on your own. But many don't take them. For example, Michael, a paranoid schizophrenic may take medicine, and then at some point get the idea that someone has poisoned their medicine. They stop taking the medicine and become homeless. I wish I had an answer for this problem, but the cost of hospitalizing them for long periods of time would be astronomical. There are thousands of them just in San Francisco alone. Taxpayers wouldn't be happy paying for all of them in mental hospitals. Many of the chronically mentally ill are so far gone, they may never be employable. That comes to me from Irene. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I would invite you to call the show, but I'm having trouble once again with my call screening unit because my normal board operator is on vacation, and apparently I'm not having the regular show that I normally would have. So you can wait to call because we have no calls right now. It's a call-in show known as a talk show with no talking except mine. Now, whether or not I'll get calls in the next 3 hours is a matter of it's in God's hands because I have no idea how to do this. So let's look at some of the other stories. For example, let's start with the song I asked to open the show with, which didn't get played. That would be Scott McKenzie's San Francisco, Come to San Francisco with a Flower in Your Hair. And while we're playing the show opening, which should have opened 5 minutes ago, I'll ask you a leading question. Do you have homeless bum aggression horror stories? Do you have horror stories from the streets of your city of what bums have done to you that have gone unreported? Homeless horror stories on the Savage Nation as we go to the headlines from michaelsavage.com. Okay, Obama's brass were pressured to downplay the ISIS threat. You probably have all seen that by now. We all know that ISIS is on the move. We all know that ISIS is winning. We all know that the U.S. is doing nothing. And we all know that the military is lying because Obama, the commander-in-chief, has told military and intelligence officials to lie about the state of ISIS. CNN instantly ends segment when pro-Trump Latina says good things about Donald Trump. Since Obama took office, Dems have been decimated all across the country. But don't tell that to Obama. It might embarrass him. Anyway, you get the picture. 855-407-282. Let me play some sound for you where you see that Megyn Kelly, who is clearly the Benedict Arnold of Fox News, has now gone over to Punivision. Maybe she's looking to become the Punivision Woman of the Year. I don't know. But she now has the stooge from Punivision on Fox News, which has become lower than CNN in terms of where they've gone. And they join together in bashing Donald Trump in clip number two. Play it now.
He clearly is not a fan of yours and of Univision's, but it appears to be mutual.
Neither yours.
So, in his defense, why would he want to engage with you when you're, you know, you are on the record as calling him the most hateful, divisive figure running for president right now?
Well, because what his words are dangerous and his ideas are extreme when it comes to immigration and when it comes to freedom of the press. I've been a journalist for 30 years and I've never been ejected from any press conference anywhere in the world.
Get him off the show. You're not a journalist. You're a propagandist for the illegal alien hordes that have taken over America. Don't give me the crap about being a journalist. If you were such a great journalist, Mr. Ramos, you'd be opening your big mouth to the bosses of Mexico. But because you're afraid of the bosses of Mexico, you come here and you try to spit on our leaders. Go back where you came from with your puny vision cameras. That's all. I'm sick and tired of being bossed around by these invaders. Period. End of story. That's the story. Punivision. That's what I call them. Thousands of illegal alien children could be freed into the U.S. because Obama needs the future voters of America. Trump goes on television and says this isn't a gun problem. This is a mental problem. He's right. It's a result of using drugs. Another one on medication that's being covered up by Big Pharma. Obama rubs elbows with Harry Reid's corporate welfare lobbyists. Okay, should we go down? Female churchgoer attacked inside cathedral in latest knockout game incident. Two brave young black thugs came into a church while a 72-year-old white woman was looking at brochures in the church lobby, robbed her purse, and then one of them gave her a roundhouse punch to her head. Where's the racism here? Is it a hate crime? I doubt it. San Francisco bums crap in street like dogs. inquiry weighs whether Pentagon's ISIS analysis was distorted to give more optimistic assessment. And if you think things are bad here, here's a little story for you from India. The job market in India is so bad that the government received 75,000 applications for 30 low-level jobs. It's 15 minutes after the hour. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let's go to MichaelSavage.com again. Look at the main stories. Punavision stooge trounced by Trump. And I think we've got to jump from that to Martha Washington, who's become Benedict Arnold's wife. We're going to rename Megyn Kelly Megan Arnold rather than Megyn Kelly, because it's clear to me that she is so desperate for attention. And she is so desperate because her bosses at Fox News want to trounce Trump. She is desperate to prove herself to be worse than you ever imagined. She is a bimbo. At the end of the day, you know, some pretty blondes are just bimbos. As smart as they may sound, and as big as their numbers may be, listen, you can go to a website, a YouTube website, you could see bigger numbers than Megyn Kelly has. And so just crossing legs and putting on lipstick doesn't make you a journalist. And frankly, I'm sick and tired of Fox News trouncing Donald Trump. They ought to be trouncing Punavision. They ought to be trouncing the gang members who were here. They ought to be trouncing ISIS instead of trouncing Trump. But I don't want to talk about that. The fact of the matter is I have no callers right now, and this is a caller-driven show. And because I have fill-ins both on the board and in call screening, I don't think I will be able to continue on this show. I'm going to give it another few minutes, at which point we're going to have to go to a best of, because there is no backup in my studio. There's no callers, no call screening. And so therefore, since this is a caller-based show, there's very little I can do for you, my audience, in terms of communicating with you. This is not a talk show anymore. This is just one man twisting in the wind. And so 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Questions for the Savage audience follow. The pollsters and the professional politicians don't seem to understand the rise of Donald Trump. Now, why do you suppose Trump is rising and the pollsters are falling? Question number two, do you think that Hillary will eventually be charged with any crime? Question number three, there is no question that race relations have taken a big drop under Obama. Do you think this can ever be fixed? Have you experienced the mental health system personally? What do you feel can be done to improve it? Here's another question for you. Is the media overlooking the racial motivation, hate crime situation in Virginia? What about the economic roller coaster that America was just put through? Is there someone behind it? Is it really China? How will the Jorge Ramos Punavision spat with Donald Trump affect the Hispanic community? Do you actually think Jorge Ramos is that popular? You think they're actually going to back Punavision? I think not. I think they'll back Trump. Why is Obama trying to fake what's happening with ISIS? Why is Obama so anxious to prove that ISIS is doing badly when they're doing so well? Will Democrats be able to recover their losses after an awful Obama presidency? I don't have an answer to these questions, but I wish that I had some callers to discuss it with. But apparently we do not have callers on the Savage Nation, and we won't. So we're going to give it another few minutes. We're going to keep trying. Maybe they'll get an engineer in there sometime today, if they can find one. And when they do, we'll get the callers back up on this talk show. Let's go to some of the websites. Fox News, Hillary under fire for terrorist attack. What does she mean by that? She compared Republican presidential candidates to terrorists for their views on women. Hillary Clinton is a mental case. She's a psychotic. First of all, she is probably has engaged in criminal activity. And by attacking Republican candidates as terrorists for their views on women only shows how desperate she really is. She is in such bad shape that even a loser like Joe Biden is starting to look like a winner. By the way, there's a late poll out. It suggests that even Biden, that's right, even dopey Biden is a stronger candidate than Hillary Clinton. What else is on FoxNews.com? Mystery revealed behind tombstones used for patio. Not interested. Filth, porn, and toys. Virginia gunman lived in squalor, told to get help. Well, he lived in squalor and he was in the media? Okay. You think he's the only one in the media who lives in filth, plays with porn and toys? You think he's the only one in the media who can put on a clean white shirt and tie and give you a smiley face and then give you the news that someone else writes for him? You think he's the only one? I kind of doubt it. Let's go to the Drudge Report, which is the king of all websites for news. Everyone looks at it every day. I know I do. And let's see what he has to say. Biden tops poll. Trump trounces. Pollsters dumbfounded by Trump. Lean campaign structure breaks the mold. Bush versus Clinton may not happen. Oh, that's a great soundbite. I got to play this one for you. This is Jeb Bush siding with Puny Vision's Jorge Ramos against Trump to show you how desperate this Republican functionary is, this Jeb Bush. Listen to clip number three on the Savage Nation.
Governor, did you see Jorge Ramos taken out of a...
I guess that we can't even get...
About that. I didn't see a whole lot of, like, people in the press saying, whoa, whoa, time out, wait a second.
You were surprised?
Yeah, I thought you guys would, you know, unite.
So there's Jeb Bush saying, I thought you guys would unite against Donald Trump. Can you believe... This man? Yeah, that's exactly who he is. Of course you can believe this man. Why wouldn't you believe this man? I don't believe a word the man says, but you can believe that this man is not going to be president. The Bushes can't pull another fake on us again. Here's a has-been named Dan Rather. You may remember him. He was once in television. He got thrown off television I don't know how many years ago. I don't know why MSNBC would dig him up. But here's the has-been Dan Rather attacking Donald Trump in clip number six. Let's see that one.
Reporters such as myself get paid not to be cynical, never cynical, but to be skeptical. I'm a little suspicious, without very much evidence, but I'm a little suspicious of this battle between Trump and Fox. What we do know is that Trump is really smart. As I said when he started this run.
Turn him off. I was never a Dan Rather. This guy should be teaching journalism in a junior high school in Mexico. Is he bilingual? Because if he's bilingual, I think I can get him a job in Guadalajara teaching journalism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You live for a new pair of sneakers? Or you like Louis Farrakhan? Do you live to hate? Are you like Obama? Do you live to hate people so much that you divide a nation that was so good to you? Or what do you live for? What is your MO, in other words? What's your motivation? To hurt people? To heal people? You go to an emergency room, you can see saints in the emergency room. I know it's popular to bash doctors, but go into an ER room in any big city, and you will see saints at work, taking smashed, broken bodies and saving most of them. They have a reason to get up every morning, don't they? And we used to have a military that had a reason to live until Obama gutted the military of all inspiration to protect the nation. This man is so destructive. You don't understand how powerful evil is. Many of you don't even understand how strong evil is. You look at him and see a skinny guy with weird ears. You don't know that he is pure malevolence. And he is so good at his malevolence that he has literally taken the heart out of America. He has evaporated the inspiration for many people to go on. He has given people no reason to live. He has demoralized the entire nation with his enmity for this nation, especially towards white people. I know that you don't want to hear it, and you know, yeah, it's not true. It is true. Oh, it is true. Everybody knows that. Everybody who really knows what's going on knows what's coming out of this administration is pure racial hatred. I can give you one example after another. I can give you the latest one. They hired that flop Dick Gregory. Government money. Black comedian Dick Gregory. U.S. federal agency. He delivers an anti-white racist tirade at a federal agency. It came out in a secret investigation by Judicial Watch. Paid for by the government. And he gave a speech, Dick Gregory, attacking white people with federal money to the cheers of the clapping black bureaucrats who hired him. It's rampant. It's like South Africa before the fall. That's what America has become under this administration. America is now living in a new place. America is now living in a new age of nihilism, a level of nihilism that I have never seen in my lifetime. I mean, you can say who brought it about. You could say what did it. you know, left can say the right did it with too much money in politics and too much preaching about morality, and the right can say it's the left because they're anti-American. The fact is, we're living in a new age of nihilism. What is your inspiration to go on? What keeps you going? Many people who believed in this nation, who once believed in the political system, who once believed in a future, who once believed they would leave a better nation and a better world behind, have given up. This man is like the, just leave it at that. And so people are saying, what are they supposed to do? They feel lost. So I'm asking another question today, which is, what is your inspiration to go on, having been detached from all of these other possible constructs? What do you do? When you have a good meal and a glass of wine? I mean, how many good glasses of wine can you have? And if you're young and you're in college, Animal House is your answer to a good life, right? Just have a good time. Parents say, you know, do what you want to do. You're only young once. And so you want to be with drunk girls. You want to vomit on yourself. But what are you really doing? I mean, what are you living for? Do you really think anyone's buying that act? What exactly are you doing? So you become what? You become something in life. Many of you think you're an artist. And so by being an artist, you think that by smearing garbage on a wall and being more outrageous than the other artists, you're going to stand out. And maybe you'll stand out, but you in your heart know it's a con and that you're not an artist. You know you have no talent. You know you have no talent to be an artist because you have no discipline. And you can get away with it in your 20s, perhaps, and then you're going to have to get a real job. Well, many of you think you're a writer. And if only the heathens who ran the publishing industry would see how great you are, they would find out that you're the great American novelist. But in your heart of hearts, you know you can't write. You can't even get a job as an ad copywriter for a book company. You couldn't even get a job as an ad copywriter for a dog food company. Because you know that. You sit in your house or your cafe and you put on outfits and airs and you walk around like you're better than everybody. You use drugs. You get stoned. You get high. And you convince yourself that you're really a great writer. Now, one day you're going to come to understand that's not going to pay the rent. And then you're going to have to really do something with your life. So people are asking themselves, who are older than the young, well, what should I live for? What's the point of going on? Well, I don't know. Really good restaurant? Oh, look at the restaurant that opened over there on the other side of town. I hear that their food is really good. I'll go there and enjoy a real Epicurean meal. Napa County. Napa County, San Francisco, real Epicurean delight. Stepping over fecal matter in the street and putting up with bums who try to rob you. But forget the bums. I'm asking you what you're living for. Well, okay, some of you don't live for that. Some of you live to save the earth. Some of you live to abort babies. Your idea of salvation is to abort babies, to chop them up and sell body parts. And you convince yourself that you're doing something for humanity and the health of women. And then you become an insane old Harridan-like Barbara Boxer. Will you actually argue that it's about women's health to sell baby body parts? That's how insane you become if you keep that up. I can talk about food. I can talk about China. I can talk about Africa. I can talk about climate and the climate plans of Obama. I could talk about the civilian deaths in Syria. Obama has authorized the use of American air power to back up the Syrian rebels who we trained, of which there are 60, in his war, in the war against not ISIS but against Assad. And take a guess who Obama's Syrian rebels are fighting alongside to take out Assad with the U.S. Air Force. ISIS. I told you that's why American warplanes have never been used to blow up the ISIS convoys. I told you that's why Israel has not blown up the ISIS convoys. I saw through this months ago. As horrendous as ISIS is, they are an ally of the United States and Israel, whether you know it or not, according to not what I think, but what I see going on. Now, if that makes sense to you, explain it to me. Why would the United States of America actively help ISIS defeat Assad when Assad, as horrendous as he is, does not pose an existential threat to the United States of America? Why would they support ISIS, which allegedly wants to conquer the world? Why? What kind of madness is this? it's getting very difficult to understand how the people can watch this going on and not even know what's going on. But I guess they count upon pundits like myself to explain it to them. And I'm serious about that. I mean, many of you read the esteemed writers in this Atlantic and the Schmelantic, the New Yorker, the Who Yorker, the Me Yorker, I'm My Yorker, I'm a Corker, I'm a Squawker. You read all of those things. But, you know, sometimes 10,000 words is harder to understand than a few choice words which explain it all. The world is a crazy place. It's getting sicker. Pictures of hunters posing with dead animals that make you want to hunt them down. I mean, forget Cecil the Lion. Now there's a sick woman hunting basically captive animals, thinking that they're brave and tough. It's sickening. These are psychopaths, basically. These are homicidal psychopaths who gussy up their homicidal urges by hunting defenseless large animals on private reserves in Africa. Albeit that some of these animals are old and will die eventually or near, let's say, the end of their lifespan, to permit them to be hunted like this, in some cases injured, not killed, suffering for hours if not days before the human beasts finally finish them off, is an example of homicidal human beings, incidentally. We're talking about all the news of the day. And here's one that should make even the most ardent Obama watcher say this can't be true. The Obama administration has signaled it may intervene next week in a civil lawsuit in which 11 American families won a potential billion-dollar judgment from the Palestinian leadership over a series of bombings and shootings by Palestinians that killed or wounded dozens of U.S. citizens. Right? The families won a $218 million judgment in February after a seven-week trial in Manhattan federal court in which a jury found that the PLO and Palestinian Authority were responsible for a string of attacks from 01 to 04 that killed 33 injured hundreds. A 1992 law that requires damages in such cases to be tripled, as well as interest on the award, would push it to as much as $1.1 billion. Well, take a guess which side the Obama administration is on. The Palestinians, of course. Would you expect it to be on the side of the families injured by the Palestinians? Last month, the Department of Injustice, which had previously not been involved in the 11-year-old case, informed the court it was considering filing a statement of interest in the case. So there it is. There's your new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, appointed by Al Sharpton personally, throwing in with the PLO against Americans who lost property and family to terrorist bombings by the PLO. There is an administration which claims to be fighting terror, planning to weigh in favor of the terrorists. There's your Obama administration. So when I ask you, if you're a Democrat, why you won't vote for Hillary, I'm telling you to think very carefully about which Democrat is much different than Hillary. And I also raise another issue, which is why is your President Obama suddenly authorizing the use of air power, U.S. air power at that, off our carriers, to support the Syrian rebels that we trained, 60 of them in total, by the way, to fight not ISIS, but to fight Assad. What in the world is going on? Can you follow this? The U.S. Air Force is finally going to weigh in on the war against not ISIS, but against Assad, who is fighting ISIS. So which side is the United States on? I've told you for a long time now, this is crazy. And I also told you that the reason ISIS has not been decimated by Israel or the United States is because they're actually a de facto army of both parties, in my estimation. They certainly don't like the kidnapping, they don't like the murder, they don't like the slavery. But governments are so corrupt and so cynical that they consider kidnapping, murder, and enslavement, and beheading, setting people on fire in cages, as collateral damage, I suppose. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Michael, are you there?
Hello, Dr. Savage. Good afternoon.
Okay, what's on your mind?
On my mind this evening is there's a big problem going on in Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York. I was born and raised there 25 years. And from what I see, the neighborhood's just been going down, going sour. turn into a big
one. It was going downhill when I left New York 40 years ago. I would never expect it would go up. It's not a roller coaster. It's always been on a downhill. Why? What's happened now?
Well, the homeless population is...
Oh, you mean the bums moved in?
Yeah, they never moved out.
The bums moved into all of the abandoned arcades. They're living in there in shooting galleries. Is that it?
Oh, my goodness. You have no idea, Dr. Savage. On the streets, right across the street from Nathan's, you can't even get a hot dog in peace. You buy an overpriced hot dog, and you gotta get it.
Yeah, and you're lucky you don't get a needle in the hot dog.
How much for a hot dog?
No, I said you're lucky you don't find a hypodermic needle in the hot dog.
I wouldn't be surprised, Dr. Savage.
Well, here in San Francisco, the people can't put their children on a sliding pond in a sand park, like a park with it in a playground, because the kids were sliding down the sliding ponds, going in the sand, and they were getting stabbed with needles thrown there by the vermin, the bums.
Yeah,
that's all. No. That's called the death of the West. That's how civilizations decline. Thanks for a cheerful thought today on the Savage Nation. I just hit drop, and the line is still there. Well, okay, that's working. Now let's fly across to the West Coast. To the wonderful city that I live in, San Francisco, Terrence on KSFO. Terrence, what's your topic?
Yes, the homeless in San Francisco and Santa Rosa, where I live. Pleasure to speak with you.
No, go ahead. Speak already.
Okay, yeah. So in Santa Rosa, I was here sitting inside a Chinese restaurant, and there was a wall to the building next to me, and a man dropped his pants and started peeing against the wall. And that kind of turned me off. I told the owner, who was Chinese, and he said, "Well, there's nothing we can do about it." So,
Wait. The man peed against the wall, but don't you understand how civilized that homeless man is? He didn't pee against the window while you're eating, did he?
I'm sorry, sir.
He didn't pee against the window while you were eating there with your girlfriend. Look how civilized he is. He was civilized enough to turn around and pee on the wall. I mean, that's quite a plus. It just shows you that your bums are more civilized than ours in San Francisco. Here in San Francisco, they wouldn't pee on a wall. They pee on the window while you're eating.
That's my next is San Francisco incident with a homeless person.
Let's hear the next homeless horror story about San Francisco. Let's hear it.
I don't know if it's horror, but ultimately there's two of them. But there, Fisherman's Wharf, there was homeless person with a pit bull in front of a business doorstep. And I asked him, I walked by, I wasn't going to go in the business, but I felt for the business owner. So I said, "Hey, can you move out of the way so the man can make a living? I'm not going anywhere. I don't know anybody, anything," the explicatives.
So in other words, he was aggressive, he was entitled, he was hostile. The police know who they are, and they can't do anything about it because of Mayor Ed Lee and the homeless mafia in San Francisco, which makes a fortune off the bums by telling everybody we owe them houses. They collect hundreds of millions of dollars for homeless services. How much of it goes into actual homeless services, nobody really knows. It's siphoned right off the top. And by the way, here's a little secret. How much of it is kicked up stairs to Congress? I can guarantee you a lot of it goes right up to the top. It's a shame on Pelosi. It's a shame on Feinstein. It's a shame on Boxer. And it's a shame on Governor Brown that he permits this festering disease called homelessness to rage out of control, not only in San Francisco, but the entire, let us say, collapsed edifice called California, a state that I still love very, very much, despite the mental illness of liberalism. We're talking about homeless horror stories. If you have been confronted or, let us say, assaulted by a bum in the near recent past, we're going to talk about it on the show until somebody does something about this scourge. And by the way, nobody is talking about the issue of bums in the streets except me. I know there are other topics and they're very important, but this bum problem is now a cancer on all major cities. And that is owing to the philosophy called liberalism. The false compassion of liberalism has yielded the issue that we are discussing. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
But we should have doubled and tripled up the sanctions and negotiated from strength. We could have done it so easy. Instead, we have Kerry that goes on bicycle races. He's in a bicycle race. He's 73 years old. 73 years old. And I said it the last time I spoke. I swear to you, I will never enter a bicycle race if I'm president. I swear. I swear. He's in a bicycle race. He falls. He breaks his leg. This is our chief negotiator. He's walking in. They're looking at him like, what a schmuck. This is.
Oh, do we need him as president instead of these stiff stooges who are so full of crap that it makes San Francisco's bums look like they're clean? Welcome to the Savage Nation. A little more Trump news on the Savage Nation. Trump and Cruz are joining together to hold a joint event to blast the Iran deal. Now, how do you like that? Now, that's, by the way, a little bit of a signal. Presidential candidates Donald Trump and Ted Cruz just announced they're going to appear together at an upcoming rally against the proposed nuclear sellout with Iran. Trump announced this event during an appearance today in South Carolina, saying it would be, quote, in the next few weeks. Now, this is very interesting because Trump and Cruz appearing together would indicate that it's going to be a Trump-Cruz ticket, which would be a lot smarter than a Trump-Palin ticket. In fact, my advice to Mr. Trump would be, keep Palin as far away as you can. I'm nothing against her, but she is, let us say, yesterday's news. And Cruz is a very smart man, would make an excellent second in command, and would give America the national security security that we need. 855-407-282. I want to move back to the issue that we're discussing on the Savage Nation, which is the out-of-control bum problem in the United States of America. It's a serious issue. I'm a very compassionate man. Many cities are being plagued by bums. They say, according to January 2014, there were 600,000 people who are living in the streets. Targeted U.S. spending for the current year is $4.5 billion. That's what they say. New York City spent over $1 billion on bums in 2014. San Francisco claims it spends a total of, let's see, the number, $167 million. That's very low, because if you add in ambulance services, hospitalizations, police services, it's way over $200 million, much higher than that. In fact, it was $200 million 10 years ago. I know it's very much higher than that. Now, if it was solving the problem and helping these unfortunate people get back on their feet and become productive citizens, I would say it's money well spent. But it is not helping them. It's making them worse. All they're doing is giving them drugs and sending them back on the street. I would like your ideas, and let's have a rational discussion on this. Look, we're all disgusted by the bums, and we've all gotten so used to them that we sidestep them. We all know not to engage. You know the rules of bumology. You want bumology 101? Let's say you don't live in a big city. Bumology 101, tells you that when you're walking in a big city, when a bum looks at you, don't look at him. Never have, don't look away. It's like Michael Corleone's advice that they gave Corleone in The Godfather 1 after he shot Salazzo the Turk. Fat Clemenza said to him, throw the gun on the floor, walk out slowly, don't run. Throw the gun on the floor, walk, but don't run. The same rules apply to the bums. You walk, but you don't run, and you don't engage them, but you don't look away from them. They have radar. You got to understand something about psychotics, and many of the homeless are psychotics. I've seen it from across the street. They can see if you're zapping into them, and they pick up the vibe. They'll come right over to you. They think you're interested in them. So don't look at them. Don't look at them in any way. But don't look scared, because they're like animals, many of them, and they sense fear. I'm telling you exactly like it is. And we all have to live in this jungle. The only ones that don't live in the jungle are the senators with Secret Service guards, the very rich who never, ever set foot in the street. The rest of us, though, in the middle class, do have to deal with this issue. And again, I was in New York last week. Big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal to me. I don't go there too often anymore. After my mother moved away and then she passed on, my publishers come out here. We talk by email, whatever, phone. Who goes there? I don't go there. But I enjoyed it. I loved staying there. I love New York, except walking at night. was a little testy. I got to tell you, I was with a small group of people. We all felt it right under the surface. There was homicide. We sensed a box cutter right underneath the vest, right underneath the Santa Claus's jingle bell cup. There was a box cutter waiting to strike. So, you know, it's a very big issue here. And I'm asking you for some homeless horror stories because everyone listening to this show who has visited San Francisco or L.A. or New York or lives there, you have to navigate this every day. And what are we going to do about this? What would the Republicans do about it when they win? What will they do when they win? Are they going to take this on? Bill is calling the Savage Nation. He claims he's a shrink. I'm sure he is. He has some ideas. Bill, what would your ideas be to solve this problem?
Good to talk to you, Dr. Savage. I hope before we finish, you'll let me say something about the Trump phenomena and Ben Carson. But since I've been a practicing psychiatrist for over 30 years, let me comment on deinstitutionalization. They were supposed, when they cleared out the state hospitals, they were supposed to set up a network of community mental health centers, but it's kind of like the wall on the Mexico border. It was legislated but not adequately funded. So now you have all the chronic schizophrenics either on the streets or warehoused in local jails. And the more
let me interject here. You're right. Police are now lay psychiatrists. Police have to treat the mentally ill who have been thrown on the streets. Jails are now de facto mental hospitals in many cases, especially in big cities. Bill, you know that better than I do.
Definitely. They now more schizophrenics are warehoused in public in the local jails than in state hospitals. There are more schizophrenics incarcerated than there are illegal aliens, and you know that's a hell of a lot of people.
Wow, that's a heck of a statistic. So they closed the mental hospitals and now they put them into the jails. So what care do they give them in jails other than medication? What do they put them on? What kind of medications are they throwing at them to stop their behavior?
It's less than those few that are in state hospitals get.
No, but I understand. But what drugs are they using these days to control them?
They tend to use the cheaper, older first generation antipsychotics.
What do you mean? You mean stuff like Thorazine?
Exactly, Thorazine, Meloril are still commonly used in jails. Yes.
And do they work at all? Do they work, these first generation antipsychotic meds?
They can have some benefit, but there are many negative side effects and not very user-friendly in many ways.
Yeah, and I understand some of the side effects from psychiatrist friends, and they're not very, very palatable for the individual on the drugs either, by the way.
Yeah.
The gait is thrown off, et cetera. But let's not go into the medicine. How would you solve this problem, Bill?
I think we've got to reconsider how we deal with the chronic schizophrenics and have more outreach programs where in some cities they have mobile units that go around and identify and try to provide intervention for some of the homeless schizophrenics.
Wait a minute, you're onto something. I think that we could, Al Sharpton, who just got fired from MSNBC and thrown to a Sunday morning show at 8 o'clock, he has a lot of buses and stuff that he uses to bring people into riots and mobs like that. He could probably go around and he could become a lay psychiatrist since he's a fake reverend. He could become a fake doctor. And he could treat the homeless, I would think. That could be his next job.
I also loved your idea of the Pope putting his money where his mouth is and opening up Vatican City to be a sanctuary maybe for all.
I think the Vatican City should become a sanctuary city for all of those desperate Syrian refugees. The African refugees especially are entitled to a nice clean bed in the Vatican. And there's no reason for one man to live in such a large castle, is there? He has a lot of empty rooms. I think you ought to bring in all of the Africans that are flooding into Europe.
He should put up or shut up.
And then he ought to sell the Sistine Chapel ceiling to an art collector in Zurich and use the money to feed the homeless. Then I'll believe one word he has to say. But we well know that we're living in strange times. When you see a former bouncer made into a pope, and then he becomes an expert on climate, and he comes to give a lecture, and the Congress of the United States, which knows very well they're supposed to be a firm wall, a steel wall between church and state, invites this guy to give a speech in Congress calling for money for so-called global warming, etc., you understand that this is nothing but a big lie, gigantic propaganda show. In a nutshell, what would you do in a short version? I only have 30 seconds or less. How would you solve the bum problem?
There's not a easy answer, but again, I think going to where they are.
Bill, as a psychiatrist, what about reopening the mental hospitals?
I think it should be expanded and us reevaluate the current commitment laws.
All right, fair enough. Yes, another Napa State Hospital in Napa County, for example. That used to be a nut house. In fact, half of the so-called poets in San Francisco in the Cafe Trieste used to be there, or would be there. Instead of sitting in the cafe in North Beach, they'd be in Napa State getting the care that they need, instead of jacking themselves up on coffee and wine and marijuana. But that's Doc Savage talking. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
My gold.
Always the unexpected, because I get bored easily. The fact of the matter is I get bored easily, and I'm not going to just do the stories that you could read for yourself on some really excellent websites. Today we're talking about a lifestyle problem called bums in the streets of America. Everyone sees them. Everyone avoids them. Everyone's been accosted by them one way or the other, and no one talks about it anymore. Have you noticed that you haven't heard the word homeless since Obama was put onto the throne? Have you noticed it's not an issue? Did you put two and two together yet? How that happened? Did the homeless problem go away? No, it's gotten worse. But the liberal press won't acknowledge it, because if they do, they have to acknowledge that their philosophy of liberalism has failed. And so the government should do something about it. But we don't have an opposition party. There is no Republican Party to speak of. You know, I got to talk about that for a minute. I was taking a bicycle ride before the show, and luckily I'm not John Kerry. I didn't break a leg. And something dawned on me. We have a two-party system that is as antiquated as the buggy and the horse and buggy. Most sane parliamentary systems have a spectrum of parties, which gives people who feel alienated some voice, whether they be on the far left, like Obama. You see, if we had a parliamentary system, Obama would have been the head of a small splinter group, the, let us say, progressive socialist wing of the country. He never would have been president, because he would have been what he is, progressive socialist, i.e. Communist Party USA. And then we'd have parties all the way on the far right, and then parties across the spectrum, so that everyone in America who's politically aware could identify with some party, work for it, and feel that they have some representation, some seats at the table. Right now, most of us feel that we have no seats at the table, because both parties are corrupt. Both parties have merged into one. We have a one-party corrupt banana republic system in this country. So I was thinking about it. When I was a kid, there were basically three television stations. There was ABC, CBS, NBC for news. And then there was Channel 13 in New York, which is public television, which nobody watched except sort of the loonies on the Upper West Side, where they played the piano every once in a while and you hear Vivaldi music. But it was basically 2, 4, and 5, I think. Televisions were manufactured primarily by one or two companies. When I was a kid, there were two bicycle manufacturers. I remember my early, I think it was Schwinn. I remember taking the wheel apart. I remember discovering the ball bearings and saying, holy God, I didn't know these were in here. And I had the pleasure of oiling the ball bearings on my Schwinn bicycle wheels. That's how I learned how to fix them. One of the things I learned how to fix it. So I said, wait a minute, look at all the different manufacturers of bicycles today. There were two or three then. There was Schwinn, there was Raleigh, and God knows. Electric trains. There was Lionel, and then there was American Flyer. Lionel was the king. American Flyer was not even a prince in terms of toy trains. So what I'm getting at is, when I was a child, there were 2, 3 options in everything. Now there are hundreds of options in everything, and we're still stuck with the two-party system. Why are there not dozens of options in politics? Why are we still functioning as though it's 1865 in the United States of America? When are we going to get rid of the two-party monopoly, which is really a one-party monopoly, which is really two-card Monty with one P under both cards? When the heck are we going to get real representation in this country, is what I thought to myself on the bicycle as I was riding this morning. Now let's go to some of the callers. I couldn't wait to get that out of myself today. By the way, it's really not the first time I thought of it. It's frankly in my forthcoming great blockbuster called Government Zero. It's under the solutions chapter of Government Zero, which can only be ordered at this time at BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. You'll learn much more about it after Labor Day when I actually start reading from the book so you could see why I wrote it and why I think it's very important that you add it to your library. MAL, Washington, Rob, go ahead on the homeless bum problem. What's on your mind?
Well, big fan here. I just want to thank you for taking my call. I've speaking from pretty experienced position here. I've flown to probably 20 or 30 times to San Francisco in the past 8 or 10 years for business. I go down to technology meetings around Sunnyvale and Mountain View. Anyway, last week I flew in there. Normally I flew in a day or two early with my wife. We go down to the pier and walk around Chinatown. And, you know, we really enjoy the city. Last week, for what personal reasons I won't get into, my wife, I went by myself. My wife didn't go, which I will never take her again now. But what it turned into, I went down there, took a taxi cab down to the wharf, had lunch, started to walk around. People were urinating. People were like Google, like these eyes, like these vampires were staring at me, these homeless people. I do work around medical technology, so I do like to be clean. I must, in full disclosure.
Yes, San Francisco has degenerated into a fourth world cesspool under the Democrat regime of Mayor Lee. They are interested only in feathering their own nests. They have abandoned the streets to the bums who have taken over like jackals, and they are driving taxpaying citizens back into their homes, and they're driving tourists away. I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm glad that you have seen the difference in only a few small years here in the city that I love very much. What it's going to take, I don't know. I do know that we have a homeless problem in the city that is not really a homeless problem. It's a criminal problem under the guise of a homeless problem. It's a psychiatric problem under the guise of a homeless problem. And there are people making fortunes off the people in the streets.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, once again, the Savage Nation has touched a raw nerve, and this time in talking about the bum problem in San Francisco in particular. But it's not limited to San Francisco. But here was a caller from Washington, D.C., who comes here regularly, who just called the show, who said he had a horrendous experience on Fisherman's Wharf with men defecating, peeing in the streets, which we have been talking about. It's not that the police cannot do their job. It's that the police have been handcuffed by the liberal lunatics who run the city, who have told the police to look the other way as grown men drop their pants in front of whole families and defecate in the streets. Dogs have more self-respect than some of these mentally ill, aggressive individuals. And it's time somebody stepped in because the city is out of control. And I want more of the homeless horror stories until eventually even the snotty liberals who pretend the city is so perfect. I love they talk about world-class cuisine. World-class cuisine. That's all that's on their mind. Can you enjoy a meal while someone's defecating outside a window? You idiots, you. Look at the entire ecology of San Francisco. You got broken streets. You got bums out of control. You got corrupt politicians. You're telling me what a wonderful city it is. I've lived there since 1974, longer than most of the people who call themselves city residents. I know what needs to be done in this city. What we need is a conservative leader in the city to clean the city up. That's what we need. Anyway, I want to mention a few things as well as that on the program. You talk about craziness. I want to show you liberalism, how insane it is. I'll read you the headline. You decide. I found it on worldtribune.com. Senior Hamas official treated at private Israeli hospital. A senior leader of Hamas is recuperating in an Israeli hospital after undergoing spinal surgery, a report said. Here is their arch enemy, a top member of the terror group Hamas, who goes to Israel for spinal surgery. And Israel is glad to help him in and say, oh, maybe they'll love us if we show them what wonderful Jews we are. Let's give them our hospitals. Let's bring them into our hospitals. So they take in the head of a terror group, the brother of senior Palestinian Authority figure Jibril Rajoub, and they operate on him at Asuda Medical Center's Ramat Haya Hospital in Tel Aviv. And the Israeli hospitals, as you well know, have already treated high-ranking Palestinian officials in the past. And what have they gotten from it? Tell me what they've gotten for it. Tell me if liberalism results in a more humane reaction from your enemies. Has it worked with anyone? Has it ever worked with anyone? Has kindness ever worked? No, it's another philosophical mistake. It never worked, never will work, and it never has worked. And it'll never work in the future. But what can I tell you? Otto Spengler wrote it in 1908 when he wrote The Death of the West. He saw what was coming. He didn't exactly say it would be a result of the failed philosophy of liberalism, but he said, I see the future. And in the future, the West will die and Asia will rise. End of story. Enjoy the ride. Let's go to KSFO. Rochelle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mr. Savage. Such a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to you for about 20 years, and you have...
Wow, that's nice. A real loyal listener. Well, hopefully I'll be here another 20 years. I doubt it, but nevertheless, it's nice to dream. What is your homeless bum story?
Me and my family, my two sons, we were walking on San Francisco Pier. My sons had gotten a little ahead of me, and there was a bum on one of the benches there. He started screaming at me, calling me all kinds of F and B and this and that and the other, and I just went, dude, what are you doing?
And he that's disgusting. Hold on. And how old are your sons, Rochelle?
My sons were 7 and 4 at the time.
And they didn't know what to do to protect their mother, who was being verbally accosted, correct?
Absolutely not. And I told them, go on. And they were just standing there looking at me. Thankfully, my husband was also with me. He was a little ways behind me. He seen the man leap up. And I'm not one that will back down. And I told the guy, you better sit down or he's going to get put down. About that time, he come up with a knife. And my husband came up and cold cocked him, knocked him out.
Really? And was your husband arrested by the city of San Francisco for protecting his family?
Nope. We called the cops as we were gathering up our stuff, and unfortunately, and as we were walking away, he said, that guy just tried to attack us, and we just left.
And you're telling me you were not arrested in this maniac city of mine?
This was about 9 years ago. So.
Oh, 9 years ago. Forget about it. Today, under this lunatic administration, your husband will go to jail for defending his wife and children. Forget about it. Oh, no. You got to let them knife you. No, they're allowed to crap in the street like dogs. They're allowed to attack people, spit on them, call your girlfriend a name. That's the wonderful city of San Francisco. Ding, ding. It's no longer rice-a-roni, my friend. It's defecation-a-roni. Thanks for the call. You think I have fun doing this? You're right, I'm having a lot of fun. You know why? Because I want to embarrass the city. I want people to squirm in this city. I want all of the phony liberals to be revulsed by what I'm saying. I want them to say I'm worse than the homeless bums. But let me tell you something. They're so mentally ill here, they won't even acknowledge that there's a homeless bum problem. So we'll keep talking about it until something is done. Paul, KSFO, in the sickest city in America, let me put it to you this way. 30 years ago, I was doing research in Tonga, which is sort of one of the most remote places on Earth. And I remember there was a Britisher who would drink in the morning, a lot of alcohol. I'd get up in this guest house I was staying in, and he'd be drinking beer at 7 or 8 or 6 in the morning. And he started to get very angry about Tonga because he was stationed there for some reason. And he would say that, my friend, he said, Tonga is the, that's a family show, Tonga is the AH of the empire. I thought it was quite funny. It's something you'd write in your journal, because I'd never heard anything like that. But then I got home, I realized San Francisco was the very same thing of America. San Francisco likes to think that it's the tip of the trends in America, everything done here first. It's not. It is the end of the alimentary canal in America. San Francisco is the tail end of the alimentary canal for the United States of America. If you were to make the nation into an animal figure with a pen, it would not be the head of the animal. It would be the other side of the animal. And it's time that the other side of the animal recognized that the whole world is catching on to this. Pete, WABC, your homeless horror story. Go ahead, please.
Mike, how are you? Listen, there was a, I used to deliver a soda. I owned a soda route in Manhattan. So Chelsea was my area. If anybody's unaware of Chelsea...
What do you mean, Chelsea? Wait, Chelsea Clinton was your area?
No. Chelsea, New York.
I'm joking. Okay, it was a bad joke. Go ahead.
You in 20th Street. Now, I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic in my truck with my helper, and I see a guy to the left of me in the middle of the street where the cars are, where the bumper-to-bumper traffic is. He has his pants down, and he's taking a dump, and half of it's hanging out of his rectum.
Wait, no, please, let's not get too graphic. Come on, that's disgusting. But when did this occur? How long ago?
Truth. This was years ago, well, before Giuliani cleaned up the mess, okay?
Oh, this was pre-Giuliani they were defecating in the street. Yeah. So it was under the liberal Dinkins that he was doing this.
And I'll give you one better.
All right, so now we're back to the Dinkins time with de Blasio in New York. Yes. There's no rules anymore. The only rules are don't be racist or homophobic. Other than that, you can do anything you want.
One other thing, Mike.
Pete, no graphic. Please don't talk like that about it. First of all, it's not right. It's not necessary. What did you have, a seltzer route or what? A soda route or a seltzer route?
I had a Canada Dry route. I used to own it.
Do they still sell seltzer in New York, by the way, in bottles?
No. You're talking old-fashioned, the squirting seltzer bottle?
Yeah, like Clarabelle the Clown that you squirt on the table.
A friend used to have one of those routes, and it was very bad. He used to go up to Harlem, and he...
Well, I'll tell you why. Those seltzer bottles, to me, they look like grenades ready to explode on the kitchen table. I always feared them. Even when they were empty, when my mother would put them under the sink to give them back for recycling, to be recharged, we were warned not to go near the seltzer bottles. They were like a danger item. But the fact is I thought about where liberalism, how it metastasized in Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx. I think it has to do with the high carbon dioxide content of seltzer and how it got, the little bubbles got into the brain, the brains of so many people, and I think it actually was toxic. I think carbon dioxide is toxic, and it explains where liberalism came from in New York. But that's neither here nor there. It's not a scientific theory. It's purely a pet theory of mine. So, Pete, any other homeless horror stories that are realistic?
I was unloading my truck, and I heard screaming, okay? There were a gang of homeless guys mugging. The people were down on the ground. They were two 80-year-olds. Nobody helped them. They were all scared. The people, broad daylight, I ran with a pipe, I don't know how many blocks, five blocks in between traffic, swinging the pipe at the guy's head. My helper grabbed one guy by the neck. He got clocked in the side of the head. Okay, the money was blowing in the street. We saved these people. Nobody was there to help them. Okay.
Well, thank God for heroic soda man.
Well, you know, somebody.
You see, if we lived in a sane society, Dinkins would have given you a key to the city for saving the 80-year-olds from the homeless mobs.
No, that.
All right, I got such a wonderful audience. It's funny when you get off the Democrat Republican broken record of talk radio, and you get off it, and you start to actually touch human interest stories. I get such rich calls. I feel like I'm living in Elizabethan England, and I feel like this whole show is like an Elizabethan English show about what's really going on in the streets. It's that simple. If you want me to keep talking about the bums thing with a real good story, 855-407-282, I'm going to go to the news story, such as the one I just read you. Senior Hamas official treated at private Israeli hospital. It just shows you that people mean to do good, they want to do good, and they think that the person is going to respond in like kind. But they don't. You don't understand that kindness is often not rewarded. Very often, kindness will be taken as weakness. Do you think Hamas will stop trying to kill Israelis because the Israelis gave one of the chief terror leaders spinal surgery? Do you think he's going to suddenly shake hands with an Israeli doctor and say, God bless you, let's have peace? You know it's not going to happen. Do you think that any more care and compassion for the bums in the streets is going to make them stop misbehaving or stop being so aggressive? You know it's not going to work. At a certain point, only discipline will work, whether it be with an unruly child, an unruly nation, or unruly homeless people. I'll be back. One man's opinion. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. There's so many things I want to say to you all at once. Hour one was a plane crash. I had technical difficulties in one of my home studios, heart pounding, neck exploding. Nothing could be done to fix it. I ran up to another studio I have, and now everything's, it's like, I had one plane crash, got out of the plane, shook myself off, came up the hill. Everything's perfect. We're flying at 45,000 feet. We're flying at 450 miles an hour. The air is calm. The clouds are beautiful. Everything is beautiful right now. I love radio when things work. I could do radio until I'm 120 if I had a smooth, easy situation. So a friend of mine sends me an email during the show, and he says, wow, I loved your show. It's typically brilliant. It's your thing on Bumology. I can't believe how good this is. He says to me, absolutely fantastic show. I'm howling. Bumology 101. How do you do it? He says to me. I said, did you hear hour one? It was a plane crash. And he says to me, no. He said, I was in an airplane. I landed to your current brilliance. He said, spectacular. Keep it up. So I said, hour one was a disaster. Had to run from Beta Hill. And then at the same time, I am emailing during breaks to one of my publishers at St. Martin's Press, who published all of the Hatfield novels. Many of you love those novels. And the last one was called Countdown to Mecca. And I'll tell you what happened to me in a Barnes & Noble the other day. And the nice feminist who runs the store. I had my assistant ask for Countdown to Mecca. One nice young girl says it's on aisle, blah, blah, blah. Go to look on the end. It wasn't there, so we go to the counter. Out comes the mean feminist. And she says, well, we had it over here, and it was under the counter. So why do you have it under the counter instead of out on the rack? And he turned into an ugly argument. I told Barnes & Noble about it. It's amazing the kind of people that are in the book business. So I said to my publisher at St. Martin's Press, I said, how many copies did it sell? So he said it sold very, very well. And he gives me the number, which I'm not going to read on the air. It's not important. It sold very well. And he says sales on the print edition were really very, very good. And he said they're nice numbers all the way around. So I said to him, is this good for a novel? Because they're lower than it would be for a nonfiction book. And he says, yes, it is very good. He said it's all relative. A lot depends on expectations and how much of an advance was paid. But he said, just talking in general, I'd say most novelists would be thrilled to sell that many books. Absolutely. So I got to read to you what I wrote to him, because you'll find it interesting. This is what I do during the show breaks, and I have the time I lost it already. Here it is. This is what I said to him. I drive myself too hard, I guess. I can only imagine what I would have done for such success when I was a struggling young writer in the 60s, 70s, and even the 80s. And then he sent me an email. I find it very interesting, by the way, to work during breaks, because otherwise all you're doing is reading about Democrats and Republicans. And here's what he wrote. Well, last one for those of you interested in writing. Major editor, major company says, but I bet that your drive is a big part of why you are so successful. In publishing, especially today with fewer and fewer places that review books, authors with a real platform who can drive sales are at a premium. Now you understand why we in talk radio are at a premium in the world of books. There is nowhere else to go anymore. Because I grew up on writers such as Hemingway, and I don't even know how many he sold. But, you know, in those days, if a man wrote a novel that was moderately successful, it usually became a movie. And I thought that by now, Abuse of Power would have been made for a great, wonderful... The reason it's not a movie is because the maniacs in Hollywood make the selections. They don't want any movie that shows Allah Akbar at the ending to the movie. See, my character, Jack Hatfield, saves San Francisco from a terrible terrorist attack, and he chases the would-be terrorist who we just stopped to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge after a wonderful chase on Camino de Real, which I've driven 100 times. And as he throws him off the top of the bridge, he says, the last line in Abuse of Power is, enjoy the virgins, A.H. That's a good movie. But of course, Ratzenberg wouldn't produce such a movie. Any movie that would put down America, put down God, put down the family, put down the Boy Scouts, put down the Girl Scouts, put down the Eagle Scouts, put down the Eagles. Now that's fair.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
San Francisco's the latrine of America. Welcome to The Savage Nation. Here's a terrible story. In the anti-cop San Francisco newspaper, here is the headline this afternoon. Oakland cop shoots suspect dead after being attacked with chain by Henry K. Lee, who, of course, rarely, if ever, reports a perp if the perp is not a white man. And Evan Cernofsky, another fellow traveler of the left. Headline, Oakland cop shoots suspect dead. So right away, the Black Lives Matter crowd moves into gear without talking about what the darling did to the cop. I'll read you the story. A police officer shot and killed a suspect, some suspect, after he smashed her in the head with a metal chain Thursday morning in Oakland's Adams Point neighborhood, officials and witnesses. The officer was called to investigate an assault when she, the officer, contacted the suspect, a man in his 20s. He attacked her, said Officer Joanna Watson, an Oakland police spokeswoman. The female officer then fired several shots at the man, hitting him at least once, Watson said. Another witness reported seeing the suspect go after the officer with a chain before he was shot. Watson can only say the officer was attacked with a metal object. You hear what they're constrained now in the city because of the vermin on the left in the legal profession? The officer was not identified, was taken to Highland Hospital in Oakland. A witness who did not want to be identified said he saw the officer bleeding heavily from her face. You hear this? She suffered serious head and face injuries that are non-life-threatening. Of course, she'll be disfigured for life from the Darlo hit her in the face with the bicycle chain. Wait, it gets even better. Acquaintances of the dead suspect who were at the scene but did not want to be identified said he suffered from an unspecified mental illness. Yeah, called hatred. You know, by the way, the killer in Virginia yesterday grew up in Oakland. Did you know that? He came from Oakland, and he couldn't make it here, so he went to become a media figure in North Carolina. The rest is history. Just 6 minutes before the shooting, Oakland police have been issued a bulletin on the radio that a man in the same block had assaulted someone with a bike chain at 6:30 in the morning. A dispatcher warned officers that the suspect, quote, has been armed with a knife in the past. But given that it's Oakland, California, where the police have been attacked repeatedly by the vermin in the liberal establishment, they couldn't take the guy down preemptively, so they had to wait for him to attack someone else with a chain. Now, wait, it gets even better. An Oakland-based author, whose name I won't even read because she's probably written nothing, was walking back to her car after working out at a gym when she heard gunshots. The author said she walked past the officer, who was sitting on the curb crying and shaking while bleeding from the head, and then spotted a man bleeding stomach down on the ground. He was bleeding from the mouth. He was twitching a lot. Mucus and blood was coming out of his mouth. Wait, here comes the punchline. The female author said she and other witnesses asked if they could help the man. Now, here's a cop bleeding from the head, but right away the liberal psychos want to help the man. And police told them to back up and move them to the sidewalk. Oh, my God, there's a lawsuit right there. So paramedics take the officer away in an ambulance, and police start CPR on the suspect. The author said she was deeply disturbed by what she witnessed. The injured female officer got on the police radio at 8:30 in the morning, sounding breathless, and said, I need a code 3 medical. I've been struck in the head by the suspect, MacArthur and Van Buren. She later added, the suspect needs an ambulance, too. I've still got him at gunpoint. Oh, there's a lawsuit for one of these rats with a law degree. I mean, they should have taken care of him first, after all. She was still alive. He didn't kill her. She had no right to shoot him. She should have consulted with him. She should have consulted with a mental health professional. She should have called in counselors as her face was torn open by this moron. Okay, should I read the rest of the story? Shall I read the rest of the story now? This is now they go on to all the police shootings in Oakland. You hear this? And here come the Black Lives Matter crowd coming out from the background. How about Cops Lives Matter? Why don't we have a little rally in America called Cops Lives Matter? And by the way, this is tied into the homeless issue. There are so many violent homeless waiting to attack, which is under the surface. And that's why I'm dealing with this problem. It's not so much the defecation and the urine. I just don't go to the city anymore. I cannot stand it. It stinks. San Francisco, especially around the ferry terminal, smells like an open sewer. The Fisherman's Wharf smells like an open sewer. Maybe you want that with your crab cocktail. Maybe you want a little of fecal matter in your nostrils to go with your walk-away cocktail. Something has to be done about the bums in San Francisco who are out of control. Period. End of story. KSMO, Laura, what's your homeless horror story?
Oh, yes. Hi, Michael. First of all, it's a real privilege to speak with you. I've been listening to you for about 12 years. My sister is actually my homeless horror story. She's a paranoid schizophrenic. She had late onset at 29. She developed schizophrenia. And she has been homeless on and off for the last 30 years, always tied to going off her meds. She gave birth to my niece, whom I've been raising in East Central Park.
Wait. I hope your niece is healthy. God forbid she inherited the gene. Is she healthy, the child?
She has obviously a lot of emotional problems, but she seems to be very strong mentally. She doesn't exhibit any of the characteristics.
You know, sometimes the children of very, very sick parents wind up to be healthier than children from healthy parents because they overcompensate. You know that.
Right, exactly. Well, my sister was off her meds at the time she gave birth in the park. She was drunk, and they took my niece into the hospital with the umbilical cord still attached.
Oh, God.
And they took her to the hospital, put her in foster care, put my sister in the Bronx psychiatric ward. She stayed there for a year. I think they would have kept her indefinitely. My father fought to get her out, fought to get my niece out, took them to his home in California, and my sister stayed on her meds for about 10 years and was a very good mother, and then started missing doses, went off her meds, chose to be homeless even though she had a home with my father. And then ultimately, the end of...
Why do they choose to be in the street? Why do they choose to be in the streets? Which, by the way, should not be their option. Sorry. I'm sorry. Schizophrenics should not have the option of living in the gutters and defecating, urinating, and attacking people. Civilized society cannot survive like this. No society on earth can take this anymore. Do you agree with me that your sister should have been, against her will, institutionalized?
Well, in fact, she was, and this is part of the problem, is she actually was under a conservatorship. My father fought to get her, the police to pick her up. They picked her up, released her, and then they finally picked her up again because she was 2 weeks away from starving to death. And so they actually got a conservatorship. They got her in a mental hospital. They forced her to take the meds. And then she ended up in one of these halfway houses where all she did was, every day she would leave in the morning and panhandle. I don't know what else she did. She was maybe drinking. I don't know. And then she was required to come home at night, and that's all she did every day throughout the day. And I see it in Berkeley. They do the same thing. They live in the group home. They go panhandle.
Berkeley is a nightmare. You know that there are still people walking around College Avenue in Berkeley who are mentally screwed up from the LSD trips that they took in the 60s? They're walking in the streets. They are still mentally screwed up 50 years later.
Yes. Yeah.
From the LSD, from the mescaline. They are still mentally screwed up. Then they're walking in the streets like it's an open sewer. But it's now gotten worse with them defecating and urinating. That wasn't going on 20 years ago. What has changed this, in your opinion, Laura?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Why are they now so aggressive, the bums? They've gone from being passive kind of panhandlers into super aggressive and also quite vulgar at that, with defecating and urinating. Why is that? Why do you think they've gotten crazier?
Well, I think it's because they are living on the streets and developing, you know, characteristics of like wild animals. And also because they know that the system can't contain them. You know, my sister, actually, she took a bus to Texas and she's been homeless there, arrested twice. But one time they figured out that she was something wrong with her and they put her in a psych ward in Texas. And she was delighted. She was taking dance classes. She was actually very happy, but they released her and she went back to doing the same thing.
I understand that many surrounding states bust the crazies into San Francisco, knowing that this is a dumping ground for the worst in the world.
Yeah.
They actually dump them in our state because the people who run the city are so crazy that they invite them in.
Right.
Look, it's a terrible story. And again, I want to reiterate, I am a compassionate man. I have tremendous compassion for the mentally ill, but they don't belong in the streets. They need to go into mental facilities where they get the care they need. I say, frankly, it's time to reopen the giant mental hospitals. It's the only way around this problem. Snake pit or no snake pit, they've got to be taken off the streets against their will. The city of San Francisco is an open toilet. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Actually, galoshes on your feet would be a good idea, and be sure to bring a raincoat to San Francisco, even though we have a drought. That will keep your clothing free of the urine as it is being disseminated by San Francisco's untouchables. It's not a funny story. It's a tragic story at the end of the day. And it's a product of a byproduct of the failed philosophy of liberalism. San Francisco has become an open toilet bowl. Ultra tolerance is what's killing America and the world. On an international level, Obama is very tolerant of ISIS, but not of Republicans. He's very tolerant of deviant behavior, but not of Christian behavior. That's all. It's that simple. So, there are some of us left in the world who seem to think the world should be run a different way. And some of you agree with me and some of you don't. So we're talking about the bum problem, not only in San Francisco, but New York City, Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago. I can name the Las Vegas, San Diego, Washington, D.C., Denver. I have the statistics. Nearly one-third of all of the bums live in just 10 cities. Now, why did they gravitate to cities? Because they'd have to work if they went to a small town. If a bum went to a small town, do you think they're going to take care of him? They'll tell him to go pick garbage or something. They didn't need some help down in the woodpile. He's not going to do their job. They come here, they live off the fat of the land, that's all. Why wouldn't they go here? Why wouldn't they go to liberal New York City under de Blasio? Why wouldn't they go to liberal Los Angeles? Why wouldn't they go to liberal Washington, D.C., or liberal San Francisco, or liberal Chicago? Because they could live off the fat of the land. They get a lot of services that they're not entitled to. That's all. Billions of dollars a year. Now, if it was solving the problem, I would say it's compassionate. It's a compassionate expense. So, okay, it's an expense you have to meet in a society. I love how they say that the mark of a I love liberalism. The mark of the mark of a good society is how they care for their most vulnerable. Well, today the most vulnerable are the Christians. Today the most vulnerable are the integrated nuclear family. The most vulnerable in this society is the nuclear family. They need the help. Not all of the outliers, by the way. One man's opinion. That's all. So let's go to some of the callers. I don't know who to go to right now. Here's one WABC. Mike, what did you see? What's your homeless bum horror story?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I bought a five-story walk-up in Soho between West Broadway and Grand. And there was always an African-American bum that was always outside screaming, begging for money in front of all the restaurants and cafes. And some of the liberals, one liberal couple, took him in to their apartment and let him shower and shave every once in a while. And, of course, he took advantage of that and rang the doorbell. They came down. They took him upstairs. They went out for it to get something to eat. They came back. He robbed the whole place. So talk about liberalism and kindness backfiring. And that's what happened.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I bet you they didn't learn from it. They probably asked what they did wrong to offend him. That would make him. I bet they asked themselves what they did wrong to offend him so that he robbed them. They probably figured they didn't give him enough.
Yes, and I would physically throw him out of the building. They will call the cops on me. The cops would come and tell me to take a walk. In front of my
They threw you out for telling him to go away?
No, I would come out in front of the building and tell the cops what they did, and some of the residents of the building, which they're not, there's no native New Yorkers left in Manhattan, would tell me, take a walk. Just take a walk.
No, there are no native New Yorkers left. Absolutely. They're all from Cleveland and points west. And they act like they're native New Yorkers. I know how that works. People who speak like me left a long time ago. I'm one of the few people left who actually speak like a native New Yorker, and you. There's like 12 of us left in the world. We ought to be giving the diction lessons in Hollywood. It's like having someone who speaks with a southern accent in the movies. It's pathetic to listen to it. Have you ever heard these actresses who try to pretend they're from the South. They all have the same fake accent with the same rising inflection. Who are these voice coaches? They don't even know what they're doing. Anyway, let's move on. I'm not going to do politics. Why? Because this is politics. This is a very political story, incidentally. What is more political than a civil society that's no longer civil? Because they have gotten so liberal that you can hardly walk the street without being either assaulted either verbally or on an olfactory level. So what would be your solution? KKOH, Reno, Mike, what's your solution to the homeless issue?
I grew up out in the Diablo Valley, and you know where that is, Pleasant Hill. And in 1969, we went to the Fillmore, to go to a rock concert. Yeah. And Johnny Winter was playing. And we were standing in line to get our tickets. And there was this guy sitting over there against the wall there, and he would just look terrible. His clothes were just disheveled. His hair was just all over the place.
Well, he's the mayor today or the governor?
And a couple of security guards went over to him, and they were dealing with him, And I just stood there and like, whoa, man, look at this guy, So we go into the concert, and Johnny Winter comes up and starts playing, and guess who's playing the drums?
How would I know?
It was that guy, the bomb. He was playing the drums.
Well, there you go, my friend. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Here, this just comes out. Another little story. Psycho's arsenal, Virginia gunman's getaway car packed with weapons ammo, was braced for shootout with cops. He had pistols, he had shotguns, murdered a reporter and a cameraman, and there you go. Loaded with guns, ready for a shootout with the cops. Well, thank God he shot himself. And by the way, he grew up in Oakland, California, the murderer. Take a look at the arsenal he had. New York City, breaking news, East Village Inferno, fire rages through multi-million dollar penthouse.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Now here is a very controversial story, but it has to be told. We all know about the maniac who shot up the TV reporter, killed her, and then the sound man that shot himself. We know the story, we've taken sides on it. The father of the young lady, Allison Parker, the TV reporter who was shot dead on the air, has gone on CNN today, attacking politicians on all sides for failing to enact gun laws. He said, stop being cowards. Now, hold on, because I know that the doxy is it wasn't guns, it was medicine. It was medication. Well, yes, the guy was a psycho and he was on medication. But I happen to agree with the father. Here's what he said. He said there has to be a way to force politicians that are cowards and in the pockets of the NRA to come to grips and have sensible laws so that crazy people can't get guns. I agree. Tell me why you disagree with me. Tell me why you disagree with that. I know the thinking on this is that it's a slippery slope, blah, 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 blah. I happen to agree that a mentally ill person should not be able to get a gun. So how do you define a mentally ill person? Ah, there's the rub. Right? And the answer is, if you have need for a psychiatric, if you're on medication, you can't get a gun. Now, what is psychiatric medication? That means if you're on an antidepressant, you can't have a gun. That would eliminate half the U.S. military and half the police in America. That's the problem. So I don't know how to define mental illness. The father said, I have to be a crusader on this. I'm not going to rest until I see something happen. We've got to see our legislators and our congressmen step up to the plate and stop being cowards about this. I don't know what to say to you. The father said he was a supporter of the Second Amendment. He believes in the right of people to own guns, so he's on our side. But some limits need to be imposed. The father of the slain reporter said, I'm saying let's make it harder for people with mental issues or people like this guy who killed Allison and Adam to make it difficult for them to purchase guns. How can you disagree with him? Here's what he said. Remember, he's paid a pretty high price. The father of the slain young lady said, there has to be a mechanism in place for that, and I don't think that's unreasonable to do. How many Newtons are we going to have? How many Allisons is this going to happen to before we stop it? His remarks were reminiscent of the anti-gun campaign launched in May 2014 by the father of a young man killed in a mass shooting near UC Santa Barbara. So, I want to know for those of you who listen who are absolutists on the Second Amendment, why you oppose limitations on the right to bear arms and why you would oppose. I mean, I don't know why you'd oppose limitations. Tell me why. Where am I wrong on this? I know your thinking and your fears. Your thinking is, well, once you let the government control the Second Amendment in any way whatsoever, the next thing you know, they'll come for all of our guns. I don't know if that's true. I'm not an absolutist on issues like this. And I don't think that this man is wrong. I think he's right, by the way. He supports the Second Amendment, supports the right to bear arms. He lost his daughter to an evil maniac. And he says we've got to pass common sense legislation that would prohibit guns from winding up in the hands such as that lunatic reporter. I understand it's a complex issue. I understand that it's very hard to determine who's mentally ill, and the lawyers will step in. Got it. But something has to be done to stop the gun violence. Now, the first thing I would do is stop the medication violence. And the first thing I would do is hold drug companies responsible who are dishing out antipsychotic medication all too frequently. And I'll be very honest with you. There have been too many deaths, murders rather, by people on antidepressants, for example. You don't know that there are side effects to antidepressants. Well, one of them happens to be issues like this, incidents like this, as are suicides. And I think that there needs to be a blue a commission, whatever. You're going to get some schmucks from the Congress to do anything. We need to have a rational discussion about the dangerous side effects of antidepressants to start with. Because most, if not all, of these shootings were enacted by individuals who were on antidepressants, incidentally. I'd like to get some calls on that, so I'd ask my call screener to eliminate some of the bum stories and get up some of the gun nut stories. Let's go back to the bum story. WBAP Adam, go ahead on the homeless horror stories. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Savage. I'm a sales marketing executive, and travel and attend conferences at different cities, and some of them are out of metro areas, but had the opportunity to go to San Francisco. It was probably the second time I'd been in the city, just this last fall, and it happened to coincide with when the Giants won the World Series, and so downtown they had the big parade. It was all nice, but just thousands of people there, and so I went away from the conference to kind of enjoy the celebration and so forth. And I was amazed, just as I was walking around, and of course, traffic was a mess, but I was amazed just kind of as I was going through side streets and stuff, kind of navigating around, just, just what you've been talking about, just, shocked. And like I said, I've been...
You mean the armies of the bums, the armies of bums that are in the city?
Yeah. It just smelled like a sewer, and I could see...
That's horrible. It's horrible. I have an apartment in the city. I won't even go to it now. It stinks down in the Embarcadero. It stinks. The city is responsible for it. They should be cleaning the streets. They should be cleaning the streets of the bums. They should put them into a mental care facilities that they desperately need. They should reopen Napa State Mental Hospital. They need to get them off the streets and need to do it right away. There's no question about it. San Francisco is a dying city as a result of this.
Yeah, I feel.
Thank
I feel
you for the call. I mean, I've said it over and over again. Are they going to listen? Do they care that the only man in the local media who ever made it nationally is now blowing the whistle on his hometown? They can only ignore me for so long in this city. But I intend to embarrass the people who run the city until they do something about it. The city stinks. And it stinks on dry ice, as my father would say. And it's time for to get the bums off the streets, clean up the streets, put the San Francisco sanitation department to work, make them clean up the animal droppings. It's worse than the San Francisco Zoo. The zoo is cleaner than the streets. KSFO, Paul. Homeless horror story. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael Savage. I think our politicians are really dropping the ball on this. Jerry Brown rather have his bullet train than to even talk about the homeless situation.
Yes, Jerry Brown's bullet train, which is a train to nowhere, is nothing but a financial boondoggle. It's outright highway robbery.
Yeah, a lot could be done with that money otherwise. I used to be an officer, and I'd take inmates into San Francisco, and we'd clean up after the homeless and under the overpasses and the little crevices where you had to really watch.
They made you clean up the bum encampments? You had to clean it up? The cops do that?
not the cops, the inmates. I'd take a crew of inmates and with Caltrans. And
you know, I'm surprised that the inmates would agree to do that. Do they agree to do it, or they do it just to get out of jail for a day?
Yeah, it was a job for them. It was, you know, they were low-level inmates, and
yeah, but to think about subjecting them to human waste like this is pretty sad that an inmate would be reduced to that level. I would think the San Francisco City Sanitation Department should have that job, don't you?
Well, I do, and but you know what? We would clean up. I'd have the inmates go in and clean it all up. Sheriff Department would be there, and I'd say now, and the homeless would bag up all their stuff and put it in their shopping carts, and they'd move to the sidewalk. And I'd say, okay, now what happens when we leave? And the sheriff says, well, they just move right back underneath the bridge.
No, liberalism is a mental disorder. Ultra tolerance is killing us. I've been saying it for 21 years. Maybe someone will start listening to me. FTL, Chris, topic, please.
How you doing, sir? The Second Amendment and the gun rights and what happened yesterday on the shooting of the TV anchors. I am pro-Second Amendment. I agree that there should be maybe some better restrictions on people getting guns, but to limit to a test or to a mental thing, would I have to answer a question wrong, and I would be, you know, not eligible to get a gun because of this one answer to this one question? I don't think that would be right.
I wouldn't say that the question of whether a person is mentally ill can be based upon a single question. I think it's a very important problem. The mental health problem is the number one problem with guns. And I frankly do not want the guns in the hands of mentally ill people. You don't want them in the hands of nuts, do you?
No, sir. I want the guns in hands of people like myself and other law-abiding citizens.
I understand, but how are we going to get the guns out of the hands of the nuts? That's what I'm asking. The father of the girl who was shot said he supports the Second Amendment. He believes people have a right to bear arms. But we have to understand there is now a problem in America. And I'm asking on this talk show, a national show, how are we going to solve the problem? It's easy for the Second Amendment absolutists to say no controls whatsoever because it's a slippery slope. Chicago has strict gun laws, and there's still a lot of gun crime, right? That's a given. But we're talking about getting down to the bottom of the mentally ill people. How do we keep the hands out of mentally ill people? I don't understand how anyone could disagree with this. There must be a way to do it.
Hour with the psychiatrist to make it through the test, the evaluation part, to get it, if that was the case. You know, it's like you said, it's a slippery slope. So
it is a slippery slope. When you give government any power, they abuse it. I understand that. And then there's the issue of what is mentally ill. Who's going to write the test? Who's going to administer the test? That's another problem. And I'm not being facetious when I say that if I define mentally ill or mentally unstable as someone on antidepressants, I'm sorry to tell you that would take out 50% of the police in America who are on antidepressants, and shockingly, probably one-third or more of the U.S. military would not be allowed to bear arms if that was the definition. So it's a real issue right now. But I do know that antidepressants very often result in homicidal behavior and or suicidal behavior. That's a fact in the literature. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Look, we were having a vigorous discussion today on the Savage Nation about San Francisco's out-of-control homeless problem and the city managers, fathers, whatever you want to call them, are doing nothing about. Typical liberalism. They're sweeping it under the rug, but it's now reached a national level. It's a national scandal, defecating in the street, urinating in the streets, attacking people in the streets. It has to be solved. We're also talking about the maniac reporter who shot that young lady and the sound man, and the young lady's father going on television today saying that he supports the Second Amendment, he supports the right to bear arms, but he absolutely feels that guns should be kept out of the hands of the mentally ill. How can you disagree with that? The problem is, how do you define the mentally ill? I think we need to get rid of the medication epidemic. I think that antipsychotic, antidepressants, in particular medications, are all too frequently prescribed, And I believe that's as big a part of the problem as are the guns themselves. So let's leave it at that for now. I want to give you an update for those of you who have been listening to me all day today. During the first hour of the show, I had technical breakdowns. I just got a report that Level 3, one of the country's top internet providers, experienced a widespread outage in North America that started about 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And this affected the Savage Nation radio show because we could not connect to my call screener, amongst other things. So that's an internet problem. According to this, I don't really know what that really means. Level 3 outage map shows a huge outage in the East Coast, San Francisco to Los Angeles, the Midwest. The East Coast looks like it was blacked out from Chicago or affected Chicago up until Maine. Florida was hit with it. I really don't know what caused all of this. And we don't know whether it's foreign hacking, widespread outage in North America that started today, 1 p.m. Eastern. Well, my friends, who knows what's going on? 855-400-7282. Let's go to KBET Radio. David, welcome to the program. What's your topic?
Yes, sir. Mike, I consider you my friend. I'm in the... I've got a bum story for you.
Well, go ahead. Do it quickly. Do it quickly.
Yes, very quickly. I was on the Las Vegas Strip. Oh, by the way, I did read your Countdown to Mecca. Great book.
Okay. It is a great book. It's a very, very great book. It should be a movie, but because it shows the dangers of Islamists, the boys of Hollywood won't touch it. They're waiting for a book that shows the dangers of the evil white privilegers. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
That's a shame. I was on the, I had my mother. She's elderly, and she has passed on. This was about a year ago. We're walking down the strip. Some big bully, about a 6 foot size. I'm fairly short. My mother was only about 5 foot five. He came up to her and just accosted her and actually pushed her. She's racked with arthritis. Well,
all right. So who stopped the homeless bum from attacking your mother? Did anyone intervene?
No. We were in kind of a secluded area. Well, not so secluded, but
you see, well, that's society today. In a nutshell, in the bright lights, in the fancy areas, you don't see it. You step slightly off the grid and you confront the jungle. And that, my friends, is the sum total of the whole story. The zanies, the crazies, the aggressive ones are just at the perimeters of our society and they're starting to get more aggressive. Yes, we can stop it, but Barbara says no, we cannot. Barbara, you'll have the last word. Fire away. 30 seconds or less on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I just wanted to say I agree something should be done. I don't know if you can do it through the mental illness issue. And my reason for thinking this is because, one, perhaps you get a gun before you're mentally ill. Maybe you have lived a normal life. You've acquired guns legally. And perhaps you live alone or with a family, but something happens. You maybe go to war.
Now you see you're raising a very interesting point. People could buy a gun years before they become mentally ill.
Right.
So then how do you determine? So what is the determinant as to when a person should not have a gun?
Well, I don't know, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know that you can determine. I mean, obviously, if you become mentally ill, hopefully your family and friends or someone would about it.
That guy in Virginia certainly didn't have a family reporting his insanity. That's the problem. And that's the fact that the show is over. Headline on a Drudge Report just came out. Washington Post is reporting how Huma operated at the center of the Clinton universe. They're trying to make her the fall guy. I knew it. In other words, Hillary Clinton is now throwing Huma Abedin to the wolves. In order to save herself and her campaign, she's throwing her most trusted, loyal aide to the wolves. Nice going, Hillary. Good night and good luck. It's the Savage Nation signing off.